Our second scripture lesson takes up in John's story of the resurrection. Listen now to chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. The Greek is translated into English this way. Listen for God's word for you this morning. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where they have laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the risen Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, while it was still dark, Mary goes to the tomb. She sees the stone that has been rolled away, and she runs to tell Peter and the other disciple, and they run to the tomb, and they look in, and in one of the most understated scriptures in all of Scripture, John tells us they see and they believe. My mother used to often tell me, even Jesus folded his own clothes. And there they were, lying there in the tomb, all folded neatly. The guys go in and the guys do what guys do. They assess the situation. They come to a conclusion and they go home. John tells us plainly they believed, but they did not yet understand. Which raises one possibility for us this Easter morning. It is possible to observe something about the resurrection, to affirm something about the resurrection, even to believe something about the resurrection, and still not be changed by the resurrection. Sometimes we want resurrection to be something that we can understand and examine and affirm and then move on from. But if resurrection does not transform us, then we are not yet resurrection people. We are not yet Easter people, because seeing the risen Lord changes you. But Mary stays. While the disciples return to their homes, Mary remains outside the tomb weeping. She does not rush past her grief. She does not pretend that everything is fine. She does not move quickly to hope. She stays. She stays with the confusion. She stays with the sorrow. She stays with the uncertainty. And then she does something courageous. She bends down and looks into the darkness of that tomb. She dares to peer into the place where hope has been buried, into the place shaped by loss, into the place defined by fear. And when she looks into that darkness, she does not find what she expected. She sees two angels sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where Christ had been. And they ask her a question, not theology, not doctrine, just a question. Why are you weeping? You see, resurrection begins with God acknowledging our human pain and sorrow. And Mary answers honestly. She says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." She releases her fear, her sorrow, her uncertainty. And God does not dismiss her emotion as lack of faith. God meets her there in that faith, in that emotion. Then John tells us something very subtle, but very important. She turns. She turns away from the tomb and she turns toward the garden. She turns toward a world beyond the place of burial. And she sees Jesus standing there, except she doesn't recognize him yet. She assumes that he is the gardener, which John wants us to notice, because John's gospel does not start with the birth of Christ. John's gospel starts with creation itself and Christ in the midst of that new creation. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now, in the resurrection story, we find ourselves once again back in a garden, and the risen Christ appearing as the gardener, the one who cultivates life, the one who nurtures growth, the one who tends to what is wounded, the one who brings beauty out of soil that we thought was barren. Mary assumes he's the gardener, and maybe she's not entirely wrong, because Christ's work did not end at the resurrection. Christ's gardening continues. Christ is still at work bringing life out of places that look empty, still at work cultivating hope in places that feel barren, still at work nurturing new creation in the middle of what looks like endings. Jesus asks her the same question that the angels ask, "Why are you weeping?" And then he asks another question, "Who are you looking for?" And Mary still clings to the only explanation that she can imagine. She says, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." She's still trying to make sense of that empty tomb, still trying to solve the mystery, still trying to hold on to that reality that she understands. And then Jesus speaks one word. Mary, just her name. And somehow that is enough, because this is how recognition happens in John's gospel. Jesus tells us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I call them by name." Recognition happens through relationship. And resurrection becomes real when it becomes personal. When love speaks your name, when you realize that you are known and seen and held and called. Mary does not respond Jesus, she responds Rabboni, teacher, which suggests that even in that moment of recognition, she is still learning, still growing, still discovering what resurrection means. Now, I don't want you to hear me wrong here. John's gospel leaves no doubt that the resurrection is real, tangible, embodied, and transformative. Jesus will invite Thomas to touch his wounds, and later he cooks breakfast for all the disciples by the sea. John makes clear that the resurrection is not just a metaphor, it is real and embodied. But this first appearance reminds us that resurrection is not something that happened long ago back in the day. Resurrection is something that continues to happen every day. It is something that is happening right now because the risen Christ still meets people in gardens, still calls people by name, still transforms grief into hope, still cultivates life in unexpected places. Mary sees the risen Christ because she stays. She stays with her grief. She stays with her questions. She stays with her pain. She stays with her uncertainty. And she looks into the darkness of that tomb, and she discovers that that darkness is not as empty as she feared, that God is there. And when she turns toward the world again, she is able to see things differently. Nothing about the environment has changed. What changes is what she can see. There's plenty of darkness in our world right now. Darkness of war, darkness of fear, darkness of separation from loved ones, darkness of anxiety about what tomorrow may bring, darkness of grief that still feels fresh, darkness of addiction, darkness of depression, darkness of anger, darkness of broken relationships, darkness of uncertainty. And the resurrection story does not call us to pretend that that darkness does not exist. The resurrection story does not call us to rush past our pain. The resurrection story does not call us to go home unchanged. The resurrection story invites us to remain present long enough to discover that Christ is still at work there, still gardening, still cultivating, still bringing life out of places that seem empty. Mary is the first apostle, the first witness, the first preacher of the good news of the resurrection. She goes and tells the boys, "I have seen the risen Lord." And she does not have all the answers yet, but she has experience enough to speak. And that is what resurrection does. Resurrection changes you. Resurrection sends you. Resurrection calls you to share the good news. And that is the calling for our church this Easter morning, to be people who do not turn away from the places where hope feels buried, to be people willing to stay present in the pain of the world, to be people who trust that Christ is still at work cultivating life, to be people who learn to recognize the voice that calls them by name, to be people who participate in Christ's ongoing gardening, tending to what is fragile, nurturing what is growing, caring for what is wounded, and trusting that new life is possible. On this Easter morning, we are once again invited to join Mary in bearing witness that we have seen the risen Lord. May we be transformed by this good news to live into the resurrection as Easter people. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gardener of grace, you meet us in the places where hope feels buried. You meet us in grief that we cannot rush, in questions that we cannot yet answer, in darkness that we do not yet understand. Open our ears when you call our name. open our eyes to recognize you at work in the soil of our lives, cultivating hope and nurturing mercy and bringing life from what seemed lost. Make us resurrection people who are not afraid to stay present to the pain of this world, trusting that your grace is still growing there. Send us, like Mary, to bear witness to what we have seen, to tend what is fragile, to care for what is wounded, to trust that your love is making all things new. Gardener of grace, plant in us the courage of Easter hope, that we may live as people of your new creation. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.